Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We're traveling through the Bible, Genesis through Revelation, in 10-minute episodes each weekday. Have you ever been in a situation when you were suffering through no fault of your own? You hadn't done anything wrong. In fact, maybe you were even doing what was right, but you were experiencing suffering or hardship or pain. We're going to explore this today on the Wisdom Journey. We're in Genesis 39 today with a lesson entitled, The Suffering of Joseph.
Can you remember a time when your life was thrown into absolute chaos? It might have been yesterday, I don't know. It doesn't matter if it was unavoidable circumstances or other people who caused it, or maybe it was your own doing. But you found it to be a fearful time, perhaps, or maybe a lonely time. You know, I wish God's children had some kind of promise that painful experiences won't last very long. But you know, God hasn't promised that. He has promised His presence with us through painful experiences. You know, Joseph's experiences here now in Genesis 39 are going to show us that suffering is not wasted in the design God has for your life. Now, verse 1 sets the stage for us. Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had brought him down from there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. Now, down here in verse 4, we read, Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and Potiphar made him an overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Go down to verse 6. He left all that he had in Joseph's charge. He had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now, in other words, the only thing Potiphar has to make a decision about is whether he's going to eat shrimp for dinner or grilled chicken out there on the patio. Now, six different times in this opening paragraph, you read, God was with Joseph. Now, beloved, it would be easy for Joseph to think that God had forgotten all about him. You know, Satan's always ready to convince you and me that God doesn't care. God's probably not even aware of what you're going through. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. God is aware of where you are right now. And now in this narrative, somebody else has been watching Joseph's every move, and unfortunately, it's Potiphar's wife. We're given a description of Joseph here in verse 6 that tells us Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now, this can be paraphrased to read that Joseph was good-looking and well-built, muscular. Now, there's nothing wrong for a guy to be well-built and good-looking. It's just not fair. But it's not wrong. And let me tell you, Joseph was quite a catch. The Bible tells us here in verse 7 that Potiphar's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph until she came right out and said to him one day, "Lie with me." But Joseph refused. Later on down in verse 12, she says it again, "Lie with me." In fact, here it's actually an imperative verb. It's a command. Now, back in verse 7, it starts as an invitation. Here in verse 12, it's an ultimatum. Now, my friend, you might be under the impression that resisting temptation means it'll go away. Well, you know, maybe if you don't answer the door, the knocking will stop. No, it won't. In fact, it just might try to kick down the door. And that's what's happening here to Joseph. After repeated advances from this woman, Joseph stood firmly on what he said when she first sought to entice him in verse 9. He says, "My master hasn't kept back anything from me except you, yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God. Now remember, Joseph's been sold into slavery here in Egypt. His family isn't around. He doesn't have to worry about his testimony or his reputation, so why not? You know, Plato used to tell a story to his students of a shepherd boy who discovered a ring out in the field. And whenever he slipped that ring on, it made him unrecognizable to anyone in his village. Prior to this discovery, he was a fine young man. But then he became a wicked man. Nobody knows who he is. Well, Joseph here is virtually anonymous. He's unrecognizable. I mean, nobody in Egypt knows him. If there is an easy time to sin, it's now. He's single, he's handsome, he's successful, and it looks like God has abandoned him, right? No one will know. But did you notice what he told her? How can I sin? How can I do this great wickedness against God? See, he hadn't lost sight of the fact that even if no one in Egypt knows who he is, God knows. Even if this woman doesn't think it would be sinning against her, well, Joseph knows he would be sinning against God. You know, I think it's interesting that when it comes to temptations of the flesh, the Bible tells you to run, to flee. You don't stand there and negotiate. You run for your life. That's exactly what Joseph does here. I like the way the old King James translates verse 12 here. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I like that. He got himself out of there. Joseph might have lost his cloak, beloved, but he's going to keep his character. Now, the problem is Potiphar's wife is going to use Joseph's cloak as evidence that he tried to rape her. So she starts screaming for help. And when the men of the household come rushing in, she says to them here in verse 14, "He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house." She's going to tell the same lie to Potiphar here in verse 17. In fact, she places the blame on Potiphar. Notice, "The Hebrew servant whom you've brought among us came into me to laugh at me." In other words, it's all your fault, husband. You know, I think if you look behind closed doors at this marriage, you'd find a lot of conflict and a lot of resentment. In fact, we're even told here that Potiphar got angry, but we're not specifically told that he was angry with Joseph. Keep in mind, Potiphar was captain of Pharaoh's guard, which meant he was the chief executioner. If he really believed Joseph had tried to molest his wife, Joseph's head wouldn't have been attached to his body past supper time. The fact that Potiphar places Joseph in prison, sparing his life, makes me believe that he knew all along that his wife was unfaithful and dishonest. But now that doesn't help Joseph any, does it? Beloved, resisting temptation doesn't mean your life is going to get any easier. In fact, it might get harder. You might lose your job because you won't compromise your convictions. You might lose that relationship because you won't engage in sin. You might lose that contract because you won't promise something you can't produce. But you're honoring God. You're trusting God with your future, even when he seems to have left you alone. You know, I'm sure Joseph spent many nights in prison crying, "Lord, do you even know what I'm going through right now?" In fact, just listen to what verse 21 says. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison." The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success. Now, success didn't mean that he got out of jail. No, he's still in jail. But God is still at work. God's going to allow Joseph to learn how to manage Potiphar's household. Guess what? He's going to let Joseph learn now how to manage a prison. God is preparing Joseph to one day know how to manage a nation, the nation of Egypt. Joseph is suffering here, but his suffering is not wasted. It's woven into God's plan for his life, and so it is for all of us. It's comforting, isn't it, to know that God is present, God is at work in your life and mine, even in the midst of our suffering. He's preparing us for what's coming next. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. We'll continue traveling through the Bible next time. To learn more about us or support us with a donation, visit wisdomonline.org. When Stephen records these lessons, we capture them on video. If you'd like to watch these daily lessons, please subscribe to the Wisdom International YouTube channel. Join us next time on The Wisdom Journey.